Epilogue: Three Life Lessons from Davy. After watching the Nationals lose on opening day for the fifth time in 6 years, I returned for Game 2 of the 2019 season with my son Patrick and his son Johnny, who was celebrating his 9th birthday with his friends. I couldn't help but recollect my 9th birthday with the Washington Senators, watching Frank Howard hit a gigantic home run. It was probably the day I fell in love with baseball. Meanwhile, Johnny was still processing the departure of his favorite player, Bryce Harper, now in Philadelphia. Unlike that Saturday afternoon in 1969, my assignment this afternoon was to shuttle back and forth from the crowded concession stand, keeping these boys well stocked with hot dogs, French fries, and ice cream. Much to Johnny's disappointment, the Nationals' bullpen imploded in the final 2 innings, and the Mets won 11-8. The hit parade of battered relief pitchers included newcomers Tony Sipp, Trevor Rosenthal, and Kyle Barraclough, none of whom would be with the team by season's end. A lot changed between opening day and October, as the Nationals would go on to become one of the more improbable champions in sports history. Overcoming an abysmal 19-31 start, the team fought its way back to earn a wild-card playoff spot. A string of historic late-game postseason comebacks brought Washington, D.C. its first World Series championship in 95 years. Over the course of an incredibly rocky season during which countless fans and supposed experts called for his ouster, second-year manager Davey Martinez remained calm and consistent, supporting his underperforming players without hesitation. Although he was disrespected in the NL Manager of the Year voting, in the playoffs, he toppled 3 of the 4 managers who finished ahead of him, becoming a World Series champion and oft-cited philosopher. His 3 mantras that would become the battle cries and signature of a most memorable season are concise lessons for baseball and life, as they certainly were for me. Go 1-0. It should be the official tagline of opening day, go 1-0. If your team wins on opening day, you want to start printing World Series tickets. Lose, and local talk radio is overwhelmed with negativity. About a third of the way through the 2019 season, after losing 4 straight games in New York to these same Mets, 3 blown by the aforementioned bullpen, the 4th-place Nationals fell 12 games below 500 and 10 games behind the division-leading Phillies. No team in any major professional sport had ever overcome such a deficit to win a championship. Only a handful of Major League Baseball teams had ever overcome such a bad 50-game start and even made the playoffs. The oddsmakers gave these Nationals a 0.1% chance of winning the World Series. Davey asked his players to try to do only one thing: go 1-0. Don't worry about trying to win 12 straight to get back to even. Don't worry about the other teams in the division. Just worry about what each individual, and we as a team, can do today. Martinez certainly wasn't the first to embrace such a focused approach, but his corny philosophy became contagious. It applied to players recovering from an injury. It applied to specific at-bats when his team was trailing. It applied to situations beyond his team and into everyday life challenges. It applied to kids struggling in school, families struggling with life during the pandemic, and cancer patients and during treatment. I was volunteering one Saturday morning at Baltimore's Bus Stop Breakfast, a service for recovering addicts dedicated in part to our daughter Teresa, who we lost to an overdose in 2018 at the age of 23. I met a man named Greg, a recovering addict who'd just done his weekly methadone check-in at the clinic across the street. He was grateful for the breakfast sandwich, hot coffee, and conversation, and provided a powerful insight on what it means to go 1-0. "I bet you take things one day at a time," I offered. "Nope," he responded. "A lot can happen in a day. I take things one step at a time." Greg had been going 1-0 for 12 years. In May 2020, just a few weeks into the COVID-19 lockdown and only 7 months since that World Series championship, Steve, my lifelong friend and opening day companion in recent years, began his 2nd fight with cancer. In a pep talk through the online celebrity service Cameo, a Nationals broadcaster told him, "I know you're 19 and 31, so to speak, but you can turn this around. I want you to go 1-0 every day. Don't look at the big picture. Just win the day. That's all you can do right now. That's all any of us can do right now. Stay in the fight." Baseball is one of the few sports that operates without a clock. As a result, as the great baseball philosopher Yogi Berra would say, it ain't over till it's over. No matter the score, a baseball game is not over until the final out is secured or the final run scored. No matter how lopsided the score or insurmountable the odds, there's always a chance, however slim, for a team to come back. The 2019 Nationals proved this again and again in September and October. It seemed to be in response to Davies' other directive, stay in the fight. It was as simple as his first. Keep trying, every at bat, every pitch, every game, every series. As the Nationals won 2/3 of their games from June through August, fans celebrated the likely return to the postseason for the 5th time in 8 years. But perhaps they realized something magical was happening one Tuesday night in early September. The players showed their fans, and themselves, what it meant to stay in the fight. Ironically, the opponent was the New York Mets once again, the same team we'd seen to open the season, and the same team that drove 4 straight nails into the Nationals' ill-fitted coffin back in May. The pitching matchup was a repeat of opening day, Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom, although both were long gone when things got interesting. The Nationals' sloppy late-game defense and unreliable relief pitching combined to give the Mets a seemingly insurmountable 10-4 lead. When up by 6 runs or more in the 9th inning, major league teams in 2019 were a perfect 274-0. But this is baseball. It ain't over till it's over. The Nationals stayed in the fight. Washington's first 6 batters delivered 5 base hits and 2 runs. Ryan Zimmerman doubled home 2 more and cut the Mets' lead to 10-8. With 2 men on, catcher Kurt Suzuki stepped to the plate with a chance to win the game against Mets closer Edwin Diaz. Diaz, who had earned the save for DeGrom on opening day, was hoping for one more. Suzuki stayed in the fight. With the count full, he deflected the next 2 bullets, then parked a 3rd straight 100-mile-per-hour fastball in the left field seats. Make that 274 and 1. Stay-in-the-fight t-shirts were everywhere. In the postseason, the Nationals faced elimination 5 times. Once in the wildcard game against the visiting Milwaukee Brewers, twice in the National League Division Series against the 106-win LA Dodgers, and twice more in the World Series against the 107-win Houston Astros. In each elimination game, the Nationals trailed. Each time they came back to win. Unprecedented. Just as with his go 1-0 edict, Davies' directive to stay in the fight resonated beyond baseball. On the final day of the 2019 regular season, Nationals team chaplain Monsignor Stephen Rossetti celebrated Sunday Mass with the team, as he usually did. In my homily, I told them they would never be in the playoffs if they had given up in May, he wrote for the website Alitea.org. They never gave up hope, even when so many others had given up on them. I told them that all of us have dark times in our lives, but we too need to stay in the fight. A good motto for life. If we do, we too will be winners, regardless of what may come. Bumpy roads can lead to beautiful places. Like his other 2 catchphrases, Davies' signature proclamation on the 2019 season wasn't new. It was just perfectly timed and repeated often. After his team vanquished the St. Louis Cardinals in 4 games in the National League Championship Series to earn the city its first World Series appearance in 86 years, Martinez took his turn on stage at the postgame celebration in front of more than 40,000 delirious fans and a national television audience. I can't put this moment into words, he said as he reflected on the journey. I can say this. Often, bumpy roads lead to beautiful places, and this is a beautiful place. 10 days later, we were back at Nationals Park. Our World Series Game 3 crew included some regulars, like my annual spring training companions, Steve and Ed. We were also able to get tickets for Patrick and Johnny. One each of Roundy's children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren couldn't miss it. I thought a lot of Roundy that night. The last time a World Series game was played in the nation's capital was 1933, the same year he graduated from our mutual alma mater, St. John's College High School. It was the middle of the Great Depression, an economic downturn that devastated the country for a decade. He lived with his parents just a few blocks from old Griffith Stadium, where games 3, 4, and 5 were played. With a staggering 25% of Americans unemployed, and his parents clinging to government jobs, it's unlikely any of the Ortmans took time off from work or school to attend or listen to any of the games. The New York Giants won that series 4-1. While Davey's reference to a bumpy road was clearly about the ups and downs of his team's 2019 season, I reflected on the longer ride. Washington's journey back to baseball's highest peak had been a bumpy road for 86 years. For the first 77 years of that ride, the city experienced only 5 winning seasons, which included 33 years when Washington had no team. Baseball fans in Boston and Chicago celebrated the end of the painful titleless streaks of their Red Sox and Cubs in 2004 and 2016, respectively, but neither city watched baseball from the outside for a single season. For all those opening days before baseball returned to Washington, I had to experience the greatest day of the year in another city while mine was teased by broken promises like the San Diego Padres relocating in 1974 or the Houston Astros in 1995 or runner-up status during each of the 3 expansions. 6 cities got teams while we waited. Sometimes, the bumpier the road, the more beautiful the destination. Perhaps the bumps in this road made this place even more beautiful than Davey understood. The long and winding bumpy road through all those seasons and 50 opening days made this place, atop the baseball world, the most beautiful of places. And for some special photos, visit openingday5050.com.